Think less about me and more about you. That's my new saying. Because you got to keep it short with people. Just stop thinking about other people. Think about yourself. Why are you judging other people instead of putting the work in to change yourself?
Seriously, what I tell people is like, I barely got enough time to keep my own shit together, let alone get involved in somebody else's stuff and be like, wait, why do you like them? But they're not a different sex or the same sex or whatever. Right. I don't care.
It is time now for something positive.
Might be headed to the promised land
and finding our external liberty once we internally liberate ourselves.
Problem can only be solved when there is a kind of coalition of conscience.
Because that is how it works.
This is the beginning, it is not the finale, and that's why we're here, and that's why we rally.
We've got to be that creative minority.
I got in trouble. It was good trouble. It was necessary trouble.
Frankly, I know we've got to do something.
Oh, hey, welcome back, everybody, to Public Access America. Oh, man. So October is LGBT History Month. I just wanted to get that on the record. And, yeah. There was an add-on that I really had a question for you about. I didn't want to get full on with Debbie, but there's a National Coming Out Day, October 11th.
Mm-hmm.
That seems weird to me. Does that give people an opportunity to come out? Does that give them the space to come out comfortably, or does it like force an obligation that just feels inappropriate?
I don't know. I mean, that's a tough one. You know,
come out at your own time on this day,
right?
for a like or two,
right? And you know, for some people, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I think you just have to take it as what it is for the person that it helps out. For some people, it's like, you know, they're like, I'm gonna do it, and they just never figure out when they're gonna do it, and then finally, it's like, oh, you know, I guess there's no better time than this day because there's going to be a lot of people doing it. So I'm not going to be alone when I do it. You know, maybe that's the answer there. But I'd say at the same time, too, you've got a bunch of people who, you know, when they find the right time and right place for them, they do it. Sometimes it's during Pride Month, which that's an interesting one, how June is Pride Month. And then, you know, you have Coming Out Day and LGBT History Day within the month of October, which, I mean, to me, it's whatever. I don't care.
I want to know why LGBT month ends October 15th. Like, what month are you working on here?
Who knows? But right. But the reality is that, I mean, everybody's going to have their own schedule of when they're going to want to come out. And
yeah,
nobody should force them to do that. You know, you look at what happened with... Was that Carl Nassib, or I forget what it's the DN for the Raiders came out in June.
Yeah.
Dude plays hard. He's good. And then, of course, he finds out that his coach is a homophobic piece of shit. So,
right. We never covered the John Gruden stuff, did we?
Well, not much to cover. Turns out he's homophobic, racist, and just a general piece of shit. End of story.
Yeah. Yeah. And he has been for a long time. I think if you have a coming out story of consequence, sharing that on the internet is awesome. I think seeing other scenarios play out gives you an average of what might happen going into it. So, you know, doing it gradually, like confiding in a friend that you can trust, a family member, you know, these people that love you, but don't always necessarily like you, but stand up for you. Those are the people that you get to talk to. You know, I don't think you should do it on Instagram for a share, you know what I mean? Or a like. I think you should do it because it's right for you. Life flows in a certain way, and you don't owe an explanation to anybody as well, you know?
No, you just really
be,
don't.
You don't have to come out, just be out.
Well, And I think too that, you know, for every person, you know, they don't necessarily have the answer yet, you know, until they're ready to say, nope, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's I know that it, sometimes it sounds callous of me, and I say I don't care. It's not that I don't care about who you are. It's that to me it shouldn't be an issue. You should get to be who you are.
Right.
And it's awesome. Like I don't care who you are, as long as there is a good person that has a solid head on their shoulders and a good heart that wants to help humanity.
Right.
I mean, the reality is that I know gay people who are fucking assholes. I know trans people who are fucking assholes. I know people who are bi that are fucking assholes. I know lesbians who are TERFs. And you know, that's just it. Is that there are there's so much intersectionality in all of that. And the reality is that being a good person through and through is what it's all about. And being ready to be comfortable with yourself and be able to tell people that message is entirely incumbent upon them. And it's kind of like, you know, you shouldn't have to be romantic on Valentine's Day, but it's there if you decide to. So just like you shouldn't have to come out on October 11th, but for those who need it, it should be there for them. So
maybe it gives somebody that final push. What I think is important for people to realize is that declaring your sexuality isn't static. One minute I can feel feminine, the next minute I might feel masculine, and you need the space to feel that. I don't want anybody to ever turn down something they think might be an important memory for them because they're defined a certain way. I don't want some hetero guy to have feelings for another man and say, guess what, I don't want to explore that because I'm hetero and that definement means I can't be anything else.
Right.
So coming out, be careful with it because you can always feel a different way at a different time, and you need the space to do that. You know, well, a lot of times people that feel bi declare as lesbian because they think they have to, you know, and I don't want people to ever feel like you have to be defined in one certain way.
Well, and you know, and really it's about taking the time to understand who you are, because you know, everything changes for people, you know, especially as you begin to explore who you are, what it is that, you know, what it is that makes you you. And there is no timeline. Oh, damn it. There is no timeline on finding out who you are. You think about what, you know, the simplest one that we always talk about. You know, what did you want to do when you grew up? I wanted to be a firefighter. I wanted to be a police officer. I wanted to go into the military. I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a nuclear physicist. I wanted to be a chemical engineer. I wanted to be a business manager. I wanted to be a consultant. I wanted to be a data analyst. I wanted to be a contract manager, you know, and that's where I'm at right now. And you know what? Fuck, I'm probably going to want to be something else by the time I hit 45. But when it comes to who you are, what you like, what you don't like, what isn't a choice for you? Let's make that very clear. What isn't a choice for you? Because a lot of people still think sexuality is a choice. And man, let me tell you something about choosing to be straight. I didn't. But even then, I'm not really straight. So whatever.
But that choosing to be something just means you're not choosing to be something else. And I think if I have the opportunity to meet Brad Pitt, I'm going to put the moves on the motherfucker. You know what I mean? And I'm hetero. So.
Well, and I think the reality is that the reality is more about being able to understand who you are,
right?
And be able to say, you know what, I'm okay with being able to date women or men or not people who are non-binary or people who are trans or people, you know, it doesn't really matter, you know, it shouldn't matter who you love to anybody else. It should just matter to you and the person or people that you happen to love.
Right.
The idea that anybody else should have any sort of say or control over that It's the same as how I view people with the government wanting to control their lives. I don't think it's any different.
Right.
Like, I don't care who my kids end up growing up to love or don't. It doesn't matter to me. Like, as long as whoever my kids bring home aren't a fucking asshole, I don't give a shit.
Right. I like that.
Because
like
the thing is that my family is very diverse. I have people of different sexualities, people of different genders, people of different colors. And you want to know what? They're all family. And yeah. I've got family that I chose and family that I chose to leave out. And the reality is that people who have big heads and good hearts on their inside them, people who have all of that willingness to share that love and grow, are good people. You may not necessarily agree with them on everything. That's great. I don't necessarily agree with everybody on anything, but that's right. Fine. That's okay. But in terms of who somebody loves, it's not my fucking business, dude. It's not anybody else's business. You know, what two consenting adults agree to is nobody else's fucking business, period, end of story.
Hey, think less about me and more about you.
Mm-hmm.
That's my new saying. Because you got to keep it short with people. Just stop thinking about other people. Think about yourself. Why are you judging other people instead of putting the work in to change yourself?
Seriously, what I tell people is, like, I barely got enough time to keep my own shit together, let alone get involved in somebody else's stuff and be like, wait, why do you like them? But they're not a different sex or the same sex or whatever. Right. I don't care. It's like my job is to focus on me, teach lessons to my kids that hopefully I don't completely fuck them up over, and just go from there.
Exactly.
So when A-Dog says everybody love everybody, doesn't mean you have to physically love them, but
right.
You know, be that good neighbor to, you know, the people next door to you that may be a same-sex couple, or maybe they have a kid who's trans. You know, it doesn't really matter. Okay. You know, in the end, we still want to find out whether or not that person has a solid head on their shoulders to do right by their community and a big heart in their chest to have the commitment to continually do better and to grow. That's it. That's all there is to it. And
selfishly, I think to myself, when I meet somebody that is another sexuality, it takes 50% of the issue out for me. I no longer have to be like, how do I angle to get laid? You know what I mean? It's like, I can enjoy this person because there is no sexual chemistry. There's no sexual possibilities for me. So I can enjoy them as a human. I don't judge them for being different. I appreciate that. In a different way.
Or just step one, learn how to interact with the human, and if you happen to have any sort of sexual feelings towards them, then hey, have a conversation about it. And if it turns out that they're not interested in you, oh cool, that happens. God knows how many times, like, I've had gay men hit on me at the bar, and I'm just like, you know what, I'm taking that compliment to the bank because I look the way that I do and you still think that I'm attractive. That's awesome. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
I love that. That is so cool.
You know, and that's just it, is that I don't harbor any ill feelings about that. That's just fucking insane.
Yeah. The time you spend judging somebody else is the time that you can improve yourself. That's the way I look at it. So it doesn't really matter where somebody puts their vagina or their penis to me in a conversation. But I think men are taught less and less these days that the angle is something is yours. When you see something you like, part of it's yours, and you have to determine what part of that is yours. And the truth is 0% of everything that you don't already have is not yours, and you can lose everything you have, so it's not right. Permanent, you know.
And no person is ever truly yours. You don't own people.
Right. But I think that's what it is. People go, hey, that's mine. I like that.
You know,
I'm going to get it.
and I think that's part of the other reality too. Debbie and I are in a relationship with each other at each other's behest. If right. one of us decides the relationship's over, the relationship is over, whether the other one is ready for it or not, period, end of story. That's not yeah. happening right now. I hope not ever, to be perfectly honest, right. but be adult about it. It's that, you know, I don't own Debbie. Debbie doesn't own me. You know, mm-mm. we're with each other because we love and we care about each other. We want each other in our lives. And if that changes someday, bummer.
Right. But you will have communicated over the years to not be shocked by it, right?
Right. And that's the hope is that we've communicated enough that, you know, neither party is like completely upended by the idea that a relationship might come to an end. And right. and you know what? If it does come to an end, you know, you can either choose the way of pain, severe pain, or you can choose mm-hmm. the way of less pain. Right. And, you know, it's like, you know, if a relationship comes to an end, is it going to hurt? Absolutely. Relationships coming to an end always hurt. Even the one that I was in for 4.5 years that by the end I fucking hated the person I was with, it still fucking hurt when it came to an end.
Yeah. Yeah.
It still fucking hurt when it came to an end. Why? Because there were so many good times, good memories, and there was so much love that was there. But by the end of it, it wasn't there anymore. And, right. you know, what you were grasping onto, at least what I was grasping onto, was what was there. And so that pain...
What could be, right? What could be there?
Well, and it's not... No, it's not... It's not even what could be, because that could be has gone. It left the building. That was never coming back. Mm. That was it. That was
knowing that, acknowledging that is a tough thing for a lot of people.
You know, and I didn't want to acknowledge it.
Right.
I didn't. And fuck, sometimes, you know, sit down and I'll think about it. And it's just like, there were so many wonderful memories there and so right. many good feelings that it's so hard to believe that 4.5 years later, that none of that existed anymore. There mm-hmm. were no more moments like that. It was just awful. Right. And, you know, and I know that when you finally sit down and you think about it, it's like, you know, why did I choose the way of making this so fucking painful on myself instead of just sitting down and acknowledging this is done and it's over, this is going to hurt, but it's the best thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that, you know, when I had another relationship a few years later, when the same thing happened, it still fucking hurt, but it hurt a lot less. When I finally started, you know, trying to enact it, I mean, it took me a couple of weeks really to sit down and go, nope, this is done. This is over. This is
withdrawal symptoms.
That person pretty much
kind of like a drug. There's withdrawal symptoms. You know what I mean?
I mean, pretty much. Yeah.
But that's awesome. The more the withdrawal, the more that meant something. Like I always tell people, everything begins and everything ends. So you got to enjoy the middle so that you don't feel so bad about the end. Because people want to fight that end. If it's ending, if Jeffrey says we're done, we're done. You know, I can't argue you back. So
right.
enjoy the middles, be an adult about the end, and you'll be responsive to the next beginning.
And
people, you know, think it's morbid when I say that, but it's
right. It's, you know, being a kid that grew up, you know, in a divorced household, one parent wanted a divorce, the other one didn't. And guess what? I got to go through a really fucking painful divorce.
Right.
And it didn't have to be that way for, you know, both my parents and for both the kids.
Right.
But
you want to just start hurting each other, but then you're just postponing the next beginning. You know what I mean?
You're just postponing the inevitable. Like,
yeah.
Like, the idea that, you know, the idea that fighting for something at the end and having it work out mm-hmm. is a fucking movie plot line. That's all it is. It's not real. It sounds lovely and romantic. Oh, he's going to fight for me until the very end. No, that's not how it works, motherfucker. She's done with you.
Right.
And she's over it. And you won't fucking let it go. And so you're making this miserable on yourself and you're making it miserable on her. And yeah. you're the only reason that's the case.
But more importantly, you're creating miserable memories that are going to be with you. Like, be a man about it, be proud of yourself through the process. And then 5 years later, when you look back, you can be like, hey, I was good. You know what I mean? But in that moment, just don't hurt somebody for the sake of hurting them. Mm-hmm. You know, even if they're hurting you, it's over. And it's, how are you both going to deal with it? You know?
And I wish that was a lesson that I would have gotten to learn earlier, because I probably wouldn't have done some of the stupid shit that I did in order to learn that lesson.
Yeah.
You know, I was a kid. I didn't fully understand what was happening at that time. And arguably when my relationship of 4.5 years ended, I was still a fucking kid and I didn't have the wherewithal to understand that when it's over, it's over. And, you know, by prolonging what I'm doing, it just makes it worse.
Yeah. They're not rejecting you. They're evolving themselves. And that's a tough thing to understand. Well, growing apart like branches on a tree, sometimes it happens. And
absolutely.
And it mostly happens when you are not communicating on a daily basis with somebody. If you're not catching their interest soon, they'll get involved with other people. And then suddenly there's a branch there. But listen and talk to each other. If your partner likes to cook one day, decide to cook with them. Give it a shot. If you don't like it, you can always say, this isn't for me. You know what I mean?
And I mean, really, it's, you know, the communication is a two-way street too, because at some point, you know, if you find yourself losing interest, it's also incumbent upon that person to say, you know what, this isn't working for me anymore. I just don't feel it. And I've been the person that's done that. And it feels fucking awful, because the person that was on the receiving end of that, I still like that person, you know, but at that moment in time, I was an absolute fucking mess. And I just, you know, I didn't have the wherewithal to keep in a relationship where I needed to work on myself and fix my shit, because I was a mess. And after I finally got my shit put back on straight and started really thinking about, you know, the way things ended with this one person, I felt bad, because I really did care about them, and I still do. And the fact that it ended the way that it did still bothers me, because it's not that I wanted the relationship to necessarily end. It's just that where I was at in that moment, I was a mess, and I needed to work myself out, and that wasn't going to be fair to somebody in a relationship with me.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. We're all trying to grow and figure ourselves out. Mm-hmm. And that there's this thing that happens in a relationship. I'm thinking about you, you're thinking about me, we're in this honeymoon phase. But then this time comes when your partner says, well, I'm more important than you right now. And so the other partner says, well, now I have to be more important at some point too. Mm-hmm. And then they begin thinking about themselves. It's a sort of revenge, tit for tat sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then it just breaks down. You get into these like grudges in a relationship, but you I had a relationship and I was like, so I guess it's over. And she was like, we're done. And I was like, I guess so. We're still friends, right? And she was like, yeah, wow. That's very adult. And I was like, yeah, I guess so. We're at a difference, you know? And it felt so adult to me. And that person's still my friend, because I didn't burn the bridge just to spite.
Right. Them. You know, and that's, and, you know, I've got a couple of friends like that too, you know, and one of them, you know, she got married about a year or so ago and just announced that she's pregnant, and it's awesome. I'm so happy and excited so for her. Cool. Yeah. You know, do we talk every day? I mean, we rarely talk, but I still consider this person a friend. And you know what? Our relationship came to an end, and that was okay. It had an end date. But it came to an adult end. And this person has a very fantastic relationship with their now husband. And I'm excited for them. And I'm excited that they get to experience that love and soon family. And like, that's cool that they get to have that, you know? And it's not, I don't view it as something I lost, you know?
Right. I didn't. It's something you experienced, memory you got to keep, right?
And that's the tough part about like some of the, you know, losing some of those other relationships, is because, you know, there is that feeling of I lost something. I lost time. I lost energy. I lost effort. But then, you know, when you start to take out all of the losses, and you start to look at the experiences, it changes things. I'm not going to say that, you know, the relationship that my ex and I had was healthy, but there were some experiences in there that were just absolutely incredible. They were beautiful.
Like moments of loyalty, right? Like friendship, like
moments of love, moments of, of, I would say, you know, pure desire to give someone a memory.
Right.
And it's hard to be thankful about some of those things, especially when, you know, you had a love that was super intense.
Yes, I've had those loves too. And when they end, you feel like you're being rejected. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? But that's, and that's why I'm saying it's, I didn't learn this stuff till my 40s, and I spent a lot of my life like a bloodhound going, where's my next lay? Who am I going to spend time with? Who am I going to date? Who am I going to have next to me to validate the questions I have or the direction I'm going to go? But then at one point I realized it all falls on me. Like the decisions are mine, right? And I choose to be an adult about it. And I don't need to get laid every 5 minutes. I don't have to have companionship to be full, to be complete, you know?
Right. I'm perfectly...
Wait, one more thing. And sometimes you meet somebody and they're not destined to be your partner. They're destined to be a friend or an acquaintance or somebody you know. And so letting people become who they're going to become in your life is really important. Even though you might want them to be your soul person, that's not what they're destined for. And you can't... You don't tell the universe how to be. The universe tells you. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And so that's where it's always tough. It's always interesting because you just, you know, we all want something to, this idea of that, you know, something's going to last forever, that we're always going to live. Man, there's no relationship. There are, I shouldn't say no, there are probably very few relationships where you never leave that honeymoon phase. And when I say very few, I mean, we're probably talking like, I don't even know one.
I know people that have gone back to it in their old age. Like they've been married 50 years and they're back into it, but they still bicker back and forth. Why'd you change the heat? I didn't change the heat. Why'd you leave that? Yeah, they all do it, but they let it out in the moment instead of once a month having a meeting going, by the way, last month you did this, 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 and this, you know?
Right.
And that's how they survive, is by letting it out like a balloon as it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
And even then, those people might be in a relationship for 50 years, but they could be incompatible to absolutely anyone else on the planet.
It's entirely true. I know a couple people like that where I'm just like, I don't know who in the hell else would love you the way that this person loves you.
Right.
Because
it's like that for your fart, you know what I mean?
Right. Legitimately, it is the definition of looking for that person who farted in the grocery aisle next to you and knowing that that was your forever moment.
Right. And we all do this thing like snoring, right? Like I was married for 3 years, and after that, I just couldn't sleep because the snore wasn't there, you know? And it's those little things. Nobody else would have put up with it. Me, I recorded it and played it for her at parties.
Right.
And she was okay with it, and other people wouldn't have been. So, you know, it's like,
Debbie and I, it's hilarious because people will see us interact in public, and then they come over to our house and they see that we act the same way at home. And they're like, oh shit, you guys actually act like this. And it's like, yeah, this is what works for us.
Right.
And people are always surprised by that because they're like, oh, I figure that you guys are just, you know, putting on a show out in public. Nah, motherfucker, this is how we are 100% of the time.
A lot of people want to put on Instagram shows, don't they?
They do. You know, but we're just constantly giving each other shit, and it's always funny, you know?
I love it.
So that's just the way life goes.
If you can see your partner's evolutions, then you can support them or be a part of them. You know what I mean? Or give them their own space to have them. It's this cool thing. It's not choices of trying to lock somebody down or eliminate their opportunities to meet people. It's this other way around sort of thing. Give somebody the freedom that they'll appreciate to stay. You know?
Right. You know, and that's the tough part is that, you know, sometimes you think you're compatible for a while and you find out you aren't. Sometimes right. You find out you think you aren't compatible and then you find out you are. And you're like, right. How is it that you like on the surface, if you were to look at Debbie and I, you'd probably most people probably be like, how in the fuck are you two even remotely compatible with each other? We are. You know, and
I look for that all the time, but you're both two of the smartest people I know. So I can imagine the conversations just are amazing enough to want to be there the next day to have another one, you know?
Sometimes yeah. it's as simple as, you know, talking, you know, sometimes we talk about dreams. Sometimes we talk about reality. Sometimes it's, you know, we talk about a fart.
Yeah, exactly.
The two of us have plenty in common with each other that, you know, what we have right now works right now. And I think that's what both of us recognize is that what we have right now works right now. And that we're both willing to accept that if it ever doesn't work, that, you know, it will be amicable.
Yeah, because you will have been honest up till that point. It won't be a surprise.
Exactly. We'll have been honest the entire time and that if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And that's not the fault of anybody. You know, everybody has their own needs, wants, and desires. And it's not incumbent on the other person to meet those.
Not all the time. But I do think it's important in a relationship to acknowledge and try to see where that would fit in.
I mean, obviously, there are some things that you're going to be able that you know, you're going to be willing to do for somebody else. You know,
right.
There's some things that you're going to be able to go, you know what, I will try that for you. But there are going to be a lot of things where it's like, no, that's not happening. Like,
not my thing.
Right. Like, for example, doing the dishes. Debbie is never going to do the dishes, and it's going to be a rare day that happens.
Well, and people got to rinse their plates, God damn it.
There are only going to be certain times where Debbie is going to do the dishes, and Debbie's going to complain about it the entire fucking time that they do the dishes.
Right.
You know, but that is something that Debbie has been honest about, and I accept. It's like doing the dishes is not going to be their thing, period, ever. Right.
But do you then look for something that isn't your thing to balance it out, or
no? If I have something that's not my thing, I'm going to communicate to Debbie. It is not my thing.
That comes up in the course of a relationship. That's exactly. Not something you're itemizing along the way.
Right. It's not something that. You know, I'm gonna sit down and we're gonna have a checkbox. Okay, well, if I've got to, you know, if you're not gonna do the dishes every day, I'm not gonna do the. No,
that's what I'm saying. People get into that cycle of I'll think about myself then, and we, you know, so it's important not to do that.
There are very few things that I absolutely will not do, and we've had those conversations, and you know, it's you know. Whatever frustrations Debbie may have with that are Debbie's, but. You know, we all have our hard limits and there's no changing that. Kind of like, you know, you can fight me all you want on it. I'm not going to be like, no, you're right. I'm going to totally. No, it's like, it's like, I'm not going to fight Debbie on making Debbie do the dishes. Mm-mm. I'm going to lose that fight.
Yeah. And why would you want to have it?
Exactly. It's not important. Dishes just got to get done.
Yeah, it's not important. You're just
I can spend hours upon hours upon hours upon hours fighting Debbie over doing the dishes, or I can just do the fucking dishes in 30 minutes and that'll be the end of it.
Right. And not look for a reward for doing the dishes.
No.
Look, I did the dishes and you didn't, so rub my feet. It's not about you. Nothing in a relationship is about you except the other person's thoughts. And if your partner's thinking about you, like in a conscious way, saying, oh, I'm going to move this aside because he doesn't see well, or he doesn't have vision in his right eye, so I'm going to move things so he doesn't trip on them. Those kinds of things are what people do for you that you don't always notice. Somebody's always thinking about you if you're thinking about them, you know, I think.
Oh, yeah. You know, and that's the thing is like, you know, Debbie has things that they do for me, and that's it's not because you know, they feel like they owe me something for me doing the dishes. They do what they do for me because they love to do those things for me, period. Yeah. Story. And I have things that I do for Debbie, and I do them, like, for example, Debbie has never once asked me to go scrape off their car windows when they've got to go to work. I just do it. Why?
Right.
That just is what I do. Yep. And I don't expect a reward for scraping off Debbie's car windows. That's just not how it works.
Right.
If you're in a relationship and you expect rewards from doing certain things, you are in a relationship for the wrong reasons.
Or you're just not mature enough. My wife came home one day and I was like, look, I cleaned the house. I waxed the floors. I did the dishes. I did the laundry. Look at, appreciate me. And she was like, do you want to thank you for doing what people do? she couldn't comprehend the fact that I wanted appreciation for doing the basics, you know?
Right.
And I was butthurt. But then I looked at it and I was like, you're absolutely right. Like, mm-hmm. I should do more meaningful things and appreciate myself. Like, I look at the house, I should be happy that I made myself proud by cleaning. I shouldn't have to have an external appreciation to validate the things that I do.
Yeah, having your significant other validate what you've done is not the way that you want to go.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Now, if you have a sexual thing where you guys have some sort of agreement where it's like, you know, whatever, that's whatever you do in the bedroom. I mean, whatever. But if you think that, you know, if I do the dishes, you know, you owe me something, that's just not how it's ever going to work. That never is how it works. And that's how you very quickly turn a relationship into an ex relationship.
Right. So enjoy the experience. Mm-hmm. You know what's weird, Jeffrey?
What's weird?
You know what happened a year ago this month? Donald Trump got COVID. Isn't that interesting? I just wanted people to understand. So what I was going to do is grab a title from every month for these 2 hours. And I got to October, I did November, December, then I got to January. And it was like I had to mark every day because every day was a destructive title. But then February, March got kind of low, you know, April came, I think the Chauvin case. And I realized there wasn't enough for every month to do a topic, you know, right. January was crazy, dude. Like Donald Trump had the insurrection and then offered Bill Belichick the freedom, some award. And Bill Belichick was like, yeah, no, man.
Right.
And then they impeached him. It was like just shoved in the middle of this weird stuff. Oh,
dude, it was a fucking mess. Like,
yeah,
you know, and the funny thing is that, you know, Donald Trump has been like, oh, well, you know, now that sleepy Joe Biden's president, the news is boring. And I'm going, the news should be fucking boring, dude.
Yeah.
The news should be something like, you're like, I'm tired, but I can't fall asleep. All right, tonight on the evening news, not a goddamn thing happened. And here's 55 minutes of that.
Here's a house fire. Somebody got shot. Here's the weather. Here's the good news segment. Bye-bye.
Here's what's happening in your community. It's of pretty much no consequence, but...
Right.
And you know, that's the thing, is like the news should be boring. And what I will say is that both presidents have failed at this in a number of ways. I mean, Trump was just a dumpster fire no matter what he did.
Right.
And I will say that the left has ignored a lot of the fact that Biden hasn't gotten a goddamn thing done. And so you have this immigration mess at the border that they're not fixing. You have different defense issues, like the fact that China tested a hypersonic missile that circled the planet that they're not addressing. The fact that
the post office, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
all of these things that they're not getting accomplished. Like, even if Build Back Better is passed, I'm still not going to have my voting rights. You know what I mean? It's all these things that he's just letting go.
So, I mean, the difference, it's a different dumpster fire. It's still a dumpster fire. It's just that the different dumpster's on fire.
Right.
And
everything could change in a week. Like, he hasn't done anything, but if these two bills get passed, he will have done more in 1 year than Obama did in 8 years.
It's
more
true.
Than Trump did in 8 years. So,
well, Trump only had four. If Trump had 8 years, dear Christ.
Well, I'm planning on him coming back.
Trump. I will say that if the progressives tank the infrastructure bill and the moderates tank Build Back Better, then basically what's going to end up happening is Republicans will win 2022 and then they will win 2024. And I guarantee you, and the progressives are too busy being like, well, if I don't get my way, I'm going to tank your bill. And the moderates are being like, all right, fine, I'll tank your bill. Like, I don't give a shit.
Well, it was a pre-existing agreement that both would go at the same time. And then, you know, moderates tried calling the progressive bluff, and then Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, you know, whatever. It's like looking at a cake being baked a half hour before it's done. Don't do it. Just don't look if you can't stomach it, you know.
That's what Democrats do, though, is that, mm-hmm. you know, if I don't get my way, I'm tanking the whole thing. Whereas, you know, as much as you don't like it, you have to give the Republicans credit, because what's ended up happening is that they don't like each other, but they got shit passed.
They did. Yeah.
The far right and the center right don't like each other. But when you know, Trump said we're going to do this, that, and the other, they did this, that, and the other. It's only in the last 2 years that they didn't do shit for each other. And that was because the Democrats won the House. And then, you know, they couldn't fucking agree on anything in the Senate. So they shot themselves in the foot that way. But right now, where you've got the Democrats holding the House, the Senate, by a very small majority, and the executive, they shouldn't have any issues passing stuff. But because of all of the infighting between the progressives and the moderates, they're not going to pass anything. And then the Republicans are going to take one of those sections. They're either going to take the House or the Senate, maybe both. And then that's going to be the end of it for the Democrats. The Democrats are fantastic at making sure Republicans get elected.
Well, I want to say that, like, a lot of the time Democrats had to eat themselves was based on Joe Manchin's obstructing of progress and then Kyrsten Sinema's. And so,
yeah. Oh, don't get me wrong.
I don't know how to say that. They were given the time to eat themselves alive, and they have. They've got it down from 6.8 to 1.7, you know, without Republicans' input at all, they ate themselves down.
Oh, like, absolutely. So and
I'm not happy. And told me it was going to be transformative the whole time, 6.8 to 1.7. I'm not going to tell you what's in it, but it's going to be transformative, and you better support it.
Well, that's what we were told about, you know, the Affordable Care Act back in the day, and look how much of a dumpster fire that's been.
Right. Well, it has helped people, but it's almost like falling up. You know what I mean?
It has helped people. Yes, it helped people get covered, but then as things started to change with it, that coverage got expensive, and less things got covered. And I know this because I started out on the Affordable Care Act. My first health insurance on my own was through the Affordable Care Act, and I actually had pretty good coverage. But by the time I left the Affordable Care Act, I was paying $12,000 a year for a $200 off coupon. And it would have made far more sense for me to just not have health insurance, bank that money, and then put it in a health savings account. And then as, you know, anybody had issues, I could have just been like, yeah, here.
Right. And that's if you made enough to qualify, but not enough to be overqualified. Like, I have friends that they have their own jobs, you know, and they can't get Obama because they don't make enough. They don't qualify. They don't have enough stable income to qualify for free health care.
Right. So that's the reality is that, you know, Democrats are very great about promising the moon and then having an asteroid crash into Earth.
Yeah, and that's what I spend my time on Twitter doing, explaining to them that their messaging sucks. You promised me everything, and then you're like, why are you mad that there's almost nothing? If you had told me there was almost nothing, I would have been surprised that you gave me something, but you told me I was going to get everything, and that's not what I'm getting. So, like, Democrats, the progressives want 12 weeks paid leave, which I think is not enough. Moderates say 4 weeks. Now, I say, why not make it 4 weeks to an undetermined amount of time based on a doctor's recommendations and not a politician's recommendations? But see, they're stuck in this 4 to 12. Why not take it out of a politician's hand altogether, you know?
The answer is simply going to be that, well, if you look at how we listen to doctors currently, that's definitely not going to get fucking followed.
Well, yeah, I don't see where a politician, it's like abortion all over again. Why would a politician be forced into the recovery of a woman after a C-section? You know, like you have to go back to work after 12 weeks after a C-section, you're barely able to stand up. You can't lift, you can't walk upstairs, you know? So there has to be a sliding scale. Now, what I'm saying is that maybe at some point, the person that was a temp gets your job. You know what I mean? Like, at some point, your paid leave becomes, well, this person's rights also. Because I think temp workers, that's a stressful thing. You know what I mean? And you can put a temp in for a month or two or maybe three, but at some point, that person has to become permanent to offer them dignity and work, you know?
Well, and that's where this gets really tough, is that everybody wants there to be one answer. And I think that we just don't have the same solutions as, you know, mainland Europe does or Scandinavia does.
And it's the same safety nets and we don't have either.
We don't have true. And, you know, but they also don't have some of the same comforts that we do either. You know, right. It's always, there's always a trade-off. And the question is what trade-off are you willing to accept? It's like,
right.
You know, do I wish that they would have made 2-year college, or I would say I would have pushed for trade school, free trade school personally.
Right, me too.
Free trade school would have been the way to go, because we do have so many positions that need to be addressed, and that you know, okay, yeah, 2-year college, like I get like the idea of having 2-year college, but 2-year college in a lot of cases isn't enough to do a whole lot. You know,
but it is enough to help you find the road you want to take. That's exactly what I'm hoping, is that it shows you interests that might benefit you financially.
Exactly. You know, and I would say that there's a way that you can address that. You know, a lot of the times, like, you know, luckily, like my oldest right now, you know, they have done enough of the work for school that now they have very minimal like required classes left that they have to take, but they get to start exploring the trade or that they want to go into.
Right. But a lot of people don't get that.
And I think that, you know, as technology has progressed, I think that there's a way to make that happen.
Well, yeah, if you allow for accessibility in curriculums for free and not charge people to learn things, I think it would be an amazing place, because we're never done learning, and we're never done discovering interests, but interests also fade and new interests come about. And I think having the ability to, yeah, go to a trade school to learn a craft only to supplement that with yet another craft. If you're an HVAU guy and you want to suddenly learn house construction because you are really good at installing air conditioners, I want somebody to be able to do that and grow with that, you know?
And that's where I think, like, you know, having free trade schools makes the difference, is that,
yeah, I like
we have done a lot to encourage people to go to 4-year schools. And like Debbie and I were telling the kids, we were sold a wonderful lie that we were going to be making all of this money hand over fist, and that, you know, we'd never have to worry about it again. Meanwhile, buried under a mountain of debt, some of us with degrees that we never actually got to apply.
Right. And you fell for a cottage industry scam of, let's get students to have to pay us interest for the rest of their lives.
And that's exactly what it is that I'm paying interest to student loan servicers and the federal government for jobs that I can't get.
Right.
For degrees that I was sold a very, very wonderful song and a dance to. And then they're sitting there telling us to sell that same song and dance to our kids. And I can't do that in good faith.
Right.
Hey, kids, do you want to go to college? Yeah. Okay, cool. Here's $100,000 in debt to start you out for your life. You're going to be paying on that for the next 25 years. And you're going to be eating loser's lunch because you got to make your student loan payments. What's loser's lunch? You only get bologna, fucker.
Now, you're going to get a job for $50,000 a year. You're going to have to get
a payment, and then a house, and then a
payment, and then I'm saying.
I got a fucking $15 an hour job making $31,000 a year. And by the time that I paid for my student loan payments and my car and my house, I had like $400 left to feed me and do any of the anything else that I wanted to do. And by the time I had like
gas insurance,
food, insurance, phone, I had like $100 to my name at the end of every month.
Prescriptions, medical, you can go on because this country picks you apart nickel by nickel by nickel.
And I didn't get to start contributing to my retirement. Why? Because, let's face it, sometimes I had to pay, I had to pay for shit using a credit card. And that meant that extra $100 that I had a month was now going to be saved for a couple of months to pay off my fucking credit card. Yay. Right. Yeah. Like, I want to tell my kids that that's the best fucking option for them. Or, they can learn how to do things like go to fucking art and animation school and learn a specific trade that they can apply to a number of different places and walk out with a fucking job by the time they're, maybe 2022 and, and not have the same level of expenses that I do. Why in the fuck would I want to encourage them to go $100,000 in debt to hopefully make 50 grand a year? And by the way, end up paying on that in perpetuum and then tell them, oh yeah, you're supposed to save for retirement. Oh yeah, you should probably save so that way you can buy a car. And oh yeah, do you want to go on a trip? Well, that ain't never going to fucking happen.
When are you going to get married? When are you going to have kids? When are you going to start increasing the amount of people that have debt in your household?
Yeah, right, exactly. And so it's like, millennials are killing the whole having kids industry. Motherfucker, we can't afford kids.
Well, you're right.
And so then it was, well, millennials were having pets, and now millennials aren't having pets because they can't afford the fucking pets either. So millennials are buying plants. And then and now it's like millennials aren't buying plants anymore. It's like, yeah, because I'm getting fucking fisted four ways by the government and they ain't even throwing in a goddamn courtesy spit.
Right. And I've learned to live on nothing based on this pandemic. And now you want me to go back and break my back for $5 more than that? Nah, it's not worth it. I'll keep living on nothing.
And so, the reality is that there were better ways to do what could have been done. And if my kids don't have to go to a four-year school to learn the vocation that they want, and if they could do that for free, I would be all for it. Because if my kids could start their life out not in fucking debt, I don't care if they have to live with me while they do their trade school. They'll figure out, they'll have their career and they'll be able to launch without me having to support them for 20 years because they've got student loan payments.
Exactly. The student loan payment forces them onto a single path. I mean, because they need that security of money. But if they don't have the debt to begin with, they can go left or right. They can go anywhere they want in any direction they want for as long as they want.
Exactly.
And I think if you included free education on, say, YouTube or some channel like that, where you could learn a curriculum for free and decide if you like it. Some of the basics, we could get people up to college education simply by putting math and reading courses online, the basics, the 101s, just to get people interested. We have to stop putting that barrier of income for education.
So fun fact is that there are some companies that are actually doing that.
Good.
Interestingly enough, one of them is Microsoft. They have a bunch of different certifications on how to do different IT things, how to do different data analyst things, how to do different business intelligence things. You literally learn these courses and then you can pay to test and get the certificate on them.
Right.
Everything from A+ certified to IS certifications to data.
Google's doing it too.
And to me, that would be the way to do it, is if there was a way that you could do that. Like, for example, I would love to see mechanics have the ability to do all of the theoretical learning, learn all of the trades and techs, but then have a place where you could go in, and like we did in Hunter Safety, you have all of your classroom time, but then you have your field day where you go in and you do certain tasks and you have to show that you're competent in doing those tasks. Absolutely. And then that's how you get your certification. That's how, what we did in Hunter Safety.
But it's fucked to put $5,000 down to take a class to find out halfway through this is not for you.
And the best part is that with those certifications, you can do that now. And these companies literally are hiring people that have these certifications. And so to me, if my kid wanted to do art and animation, if the company that does the art and animation stuff you know, offers the courses for free, and then they can sit down and learn at their pace and then take the test to get certified in those things. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Great. And minimize the expenses that kids, that people have as barriers to learning. And right. then all of a sudden, you know, have that particular company, like DigiPen, for example, have them partner with different industries, have them partner with different companies. And as people get these certifications, it's like, hey, here's a list of companies that you could potentially work with if you get these number of certifications. Perfect. Awesome. It gives someone a goal. It's like, hey, I want to work for this company. Oh, I need to learn these five classes and get certified in them.
That's before my goal. They'll accept me, then that's what I'm going to try and do. Right.
And it gives people, it's like a very clear picture of what they need. They need to know all of these elements. These are the classes that they're contained in. This is how you get the certification. You don't have to do the whole university thing to get a ton of student loans. And I would argue that it would also open them up to do what our quote unquote parents and grandparents used to do, which was have a part-time job to pay for their education. I think that is a more effective way forward than the way that the current system operates. And it's another one of those giant fuck yous to the government that I am very fond of.
Yeah. I don't mind paying for an advanced degree in something that I learned I have an interest in. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
If I want to learn about broadcasting, I want to take some basic courses to find out whether I'm capable of it. And then maybe I'll pay the $5,000 for an advanced version of that.
Or,
you know what I mean?
Or I would say that, hey, you get some basic certificates on things that you can do in the broadcasting industry. You get partnered with a broadcaster. And if you decide you want to continue on that path, great. And then you work with the company that you're a part of.
Yeah.
And they go
further educated. Yeah.
And they're like, hey, I need you to have some more specialized courses. We're going to pay for those.
Exactly. Instead of me picking a course and hoping a company will want that.
Yeah. Or having to have a degree in underwater basket weaving in order to actually get involved in broadcasting. Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Right. It also doesn't make any sense that I have to learn basic math or prove that I know basic math to move on in the career, when I could have just learned the basic math, taken a test, and not paid for the class to get to where I needed to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I tell people all the time, it's like, I have a lot of years of doing statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how often I've had to use that?
All the time.
Totally not.
Nice. So let's go with our, let me see.
Yeah.
Wow, Jeffrey, we have no time left at all.
Yeah, I know. We suddenly found ourselves on a roll.
Love it.
We were going to get spooky and we never got spooky.
Oh,
that's all right.
We didn't get spooky. We didn't even get poopy. That's the problem.
Well, I guess this is our chance, you know. All right. Let's close it out. What is the spookiest thing that has ever happened to you?
Spookiest thing ever. Mm-hmm. Man, so I was laying there on the couch and somebody started knocking on my door. Just and I was like, what the? It was like 12:30 at night. Freaked me out. I called my friend. He called the cops. I called the cops. There was a cop sitting outside my apartment because I was so freaked out.
Yeah. All right, I got one for you.
Okay, good.
So for all of you spooky fans out there, this is something that happened to me and a friend, and it was the craziest shit that I've ever experienced. I have no explanation for it. So I was working for an environmental restoration firm, and we got this big project where we were going to have to travel a little ways, like a couple hours one way. And so it didn't make sense because that would have ate up a ton of budget. So luckily, the place that we were working at, they had a guest house that we could just use. And that would have allowed us to have somewhere to crash on the cheap, you know, place where we could cook some food, all that other fun stuff, and save a ton on fuel budget and time for having to travel and all that other fun stuff. We get down there, we go to get into the house, and we all start unloading our stuff. And me and a friend that works for this company, we walk into this house, and I mean to tell you, it just didn't feel right. Like, it was like, something feels off about this place. I don't feel good in here. And so everybody gets their stuff unloaded. And this friend and I, we decided to go walk around this house just to kind of check it out. So we walk around, and we were walking around, and we decided to go upstairs, and we start to hear some rustling downstairs. We kind of figure that it's just everybody that's still unloading stuff. We get into this one room, and I mean, this room just does not feel good. I'm like, something happened in this room. It does not feel good. I am creeped the fuck out. So we go back downstairs, and all of our stuff is stacked up in the middle of the room. And we're just kind of like, okay, whatever. Somebody's fucking around. They're just like stacking stuff up. Everybody's here. We walk outside. Everybody's already taken off. They're gone. And we're like, what the fuck? So we go back inside thinking like maybe somebody else is in there. We were outside for 15 seconds at most. We walk back inside. All of our shit has literally exploded all over the floor.
Wow.
And we both are like, nope. And we just grab our shit and we get the fuck out of there. We walk out, and I shit you not, I turn around, and up in the upper left-hand window, there's somebody fucking staring at us. And I ran back in to go see who the fuck it was. There's nobody there. I'm like, nope, I am not staying here. I will sleep in the fucking truck. There is absolutely no way I am staying here.
Smart.
And so my friend was also like, nope, not happening. We told a couple of the other people, and they're like, there is nothing there. You guys are making this shit up. They managed to stay there for about 3 nights, and then they fucking booked themselves into a hotel room because they were having weird shit happen all night.
I love that.
I was like, there's no fucking way I'm staying in this house. It is too weird. And then seeing somebody staring in the fucking window at us.
Yeah.
Nah. Nope.
No. Love it.
And there you go. That is my spooky happening.
I love it. Thanks for being here, Jeffrey. Go take the kids. Get the kids some candy.
I'm going to get the kids candy corn. That way they can feel like I really love them.
Candy corn means love. All right. I'll talk to you later.
To those who would tear the world down, we will defeat you.
This is our moment.
This is our time. To those who seek peace and security, we support you.
Yes, we can.
And to all those who have wondered if America's beacon still burns as bright, tonight we prove once more that the true strength of our nation comes not from the might of our arms or the scale of our wealth, but from the enduring power of our ideals, democracy, liberty, opportunity, and unyielding hope.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbow. Very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life.
Ask not.
Yes, we can.
What your country can do for you.
I have a dream.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I, poor little children.
Yes, we can.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression.
In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
That's how winning is done.
Welcome to Public Access America.
Yes, we can.
Sunday live streams on YouTube.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad.
On Twitter.
Apple
Podcasts. Stitcher Smart
Radio Public, and Spotify.
Yes, we can.
Public Access Public America. History in the making. Making history in the making.